You passed your third budget amendment. Y'all did that in council. Give me your thoughts there and why you did that.
Well, we've got, there's always changes that the staff's making to the budget and different things we want to do. We've got, you know, here recently we were evaluating, we had a several million dollar loan to one of the local banks here that the council decided to go ahead and pay off. You know, times are doing well in Bryan, so anytime we can get rid of some of our debt, we're doing that. So that was part of the change and paying off that debt, looking into some other different services there. So we kind of make adjustments as we see fit.
Now, one of the things that this had to do with, as you say, you'll get rid of the LaSalle Hotel, and this will also pay for some improvements to the library system.
Yeah, we paid off the debt to the LaSalle, and then the Claremont's Library, there's some improvements that we've been kind of putting off for many years that we're going to go ahead and get done now. So we're going to take advantage of as many improvements as we can in the city, but excited that we're no longer in debt with the LaSalle Hotel.
Sure.
So that goes back on the tax rolls.
And things are, we've talked about this, obviously, that you're able to lower the tax rate, and that's a good thing. We like that, and tax revenue is going up. But talk a little bit about TIF performance here in the city right now, and how do you see that? I mean, some of those TIFs are, like anything else, some do well and some not as well as you might have projected.
Well, we paid one TIF off on the east side. The park cuts and TIF, so that one's no longer a burden to the taxpayers, and it's turned out very well, a successful venture out there. We've got TIF in downtown Bryan, TIF on the west side with Traditions. We've got one at the Target Center. We've got one over there behind the post office with Briar Meadows. So,
yeah. Those two are the ones that I was thinking about. I'd like to get your thought on what the status is, the one behind the post office and then the one at the Target Center.
Well, we were fortunate to get Target into our community when we did. If we would have waited a year on that project, we wouldn't have had Target here in Bryan. The economy fell. There were no more expansions of some of the retail establishments. So we were fortunate that we kind of beat the curve and got ahead of the game and got that Target Center in here. And then everything kind of just came to a standstill and a halt. Now there are a lot of things that are fixing to happen out there. We talk every few weeks at our council meetings about some of the development that's anticipated out there on that east side around Target, between Target and University Drive. There's a lot of land there to be developed. So I see a lot of success with that. You've got a lot of new entities and businesses coming in across the street there with Chick's and Taka Casa and new hotels and new senior apartment complex. So there's a lot of things going on in that area that's going to be able to contribute to some of that, the TIF funds to pay for some of those infrastructure improvements. Briar Meadows the same way. You know, everything's going through tough times. The economy was slow. Commercial development ceased. Now Raceway just opened up here a few weeks ago. We've got, I think, most of that land's already under contract or sold. I see more residential housing opportunities out there. There's 30-something townhomes being developed and built out there. Most of the lots in the subdivision are sold or are fixing to be built on. So the residential growth in Briar Meadows has definitely increased just in the past 6 to 12 months. And then the commercial activity out there has increased. You know, it's right there, right around the corner from Blinn College. So it's going to be a successful area. But it's been slower than most, but as is a lot of areas over the past few years with the tough economy. But you're seeing a bounce back now. So those funds will be back in the pot to help pay for those infrastructure improvements.
You know, back in the day in College Station, one of the things that really made it difficult for them in traffic was Dominick, which was a major street. And people wanted to turn both directions, left and right, on that. And then you had George Bush in Texas just a half a block away. And that caused a real bottleneck. I could see with the Raceway there that you could end up with the same situation. Briarcrest or William Joe Bryan backs up a lot. And now you've got Raceway. You'll want people coming into there and coming out of there. And you've got a stoplight right there by the post office. So it would seem like that could be a bottleneck situation for a lot of the day.
Well, we were fortunate that we years ago put in Nash Street to Nash Drive there. So Nash Drive has helped alleviate some of the traffic with Broadmoor and Villa Maria. Blinn College just put in their new parking lot. They're aligning it with the light there so the students can get in and out of those areas a lot quicker. So hopefully, you know, with all the growth, and we'll be able to keep up with the infrastructure improvements. But Nash Street has really helped with a lot of that. And, you know, we expect, you know, with some of the residential growth, you'll have less traffic in some of those parts. But I think if you blink in the next 6 months, you're going to see a lot of new development up and around all those vacant areas there on William Joe Bryan. Yeah. So it is a up-and-coming area. But with the growth and development, you do have congestion problems that we'll have to alleviate and work with. And so we'll continue to look into those issues.
Jason Mieske, the mayor of Bryan, joining us. I saw a story last night about you had to write off again more than $1 million in bad debt for fire department ambulance calls. And it's not as much as it has been, but over the last 5 years, this has ended up being $7 or $8 million. And I'm a taxpayer in Bryan, and I'm not very happy. I mean, is that the cost of doing business? That kind of bothers me a little bit.
Oh, it bothers me a lot, Scott. It's been really one of my biggest pet peeves in serving on the city council is those write-offs. And I mentioned it again to our city manager last night. We have a lot of people in the community that will call 911 to get a ride to the doctor or to the hospital that are what you may call a non-emergency type situation. Our first responders have to respond to all calls, so we can't just pick and choose. Well, I think you've got a bum elbow, Scott, so we're not going to pick you up and take you in, or you may or may not be having a heart attack. I mean, everyone, if you call 911, we're going to pick you up. We're going to transport you to the local hospitals and take care of you. But, you know, getting payment sometimes is very difficult. Sometimes government pays some of it. Sometimes private insurance pays for it. But a lot of times we're not reimbursed for that, and we have to write it off. And,
is this something Texas Municipal League has discussed before? I mean, what kind of remedies can cities put forth in this?
Well, I think it's going to be on a federal level that we're going to have to get some help on, you know, where they mandate higher payments from the government. I don't know if we get to the point to where we can, you know, pick and choose, or, you know, if it's a certain non-emergency situation where there's another system in place to get someone there. But you do have a lot. If you talk to the local hospitals, they'll tell you that they have a lot of people that come into the emergency rooms on a day-by-day basis rather than go to the doctor for their illness and ailments. But they're not necessarily gunshot wounds or accident mm-hmm. victims. And so you've got that issue, and then you've got a lot of people that take advantage of the ambulance just to get to and from to the doctors. And yes, you as a taxpayer has to pay for that, and we can't deny them. So we have talked to TML, and we have talked to our elected officials. It's been an ongoing problem for mm-hmm. years that all of the communities are paying for, and whether it's counties and cities. But it bothers me as much as it bothers you, because I hate to write any debt off, but we've got collection agencies that do their best to collect as much money as they can. They get paid a fee for the dollars they bring in. Once we've overturned every stone, then we write it off. And so, you know, it's an unfortunate part of it. If you want to call it it's one of the services we provide to our citizens that everyone's able to use. And unfortunately, sometimes we'll write off, you know, most of them are over, you know, I think 800,000 to a million plus on a year-by-year basis.
That's, again, it is annoying. Once again, you visited the idea of high-speed rail, funding there. I think in a news soundbite that we had this morning, you put forth an interesting idea, and that is that it may be a shared effort. That's all well and good if you want to name those other cities, but if any of those other cities like Wixon or does College Station want to get involved in this? My understanding, if I read the comments of Nancy Berry, right, when she was here, they don't have any interest in putting any money into this. So is this good money after bad?
Well, College Station and Brazos County have been a partner with Dean International for many years, and here recently they decided not to pursue that. So, you know, we have several people on the Bryan City Council that we all support high-speed rail. And if there's any opportunity that we can get that to Bryan, College Station, to Aggieland, anywhere to this region, I think it would be good for our community. You know, we definitely missed out many, many years ago on the interstate highways in and around Brazos County. And you know, some will say that's good. Some will say it was bad. But there's a lot of folks that do not want to miss out on high-speed rail opportunities between San Antonio and Dallas and Houston. And you know, we want to try to get somewhere connected to it, T-bone it if we possibly can. It's going to be here before you know it. What they haven't talked about is the cost. That's something we're concerned about, and what it's going to cost to connect. Who buys the land and how that works. But you know, and that's why I mentioned the university needs to get involved. I think they benefit as much as anyone from this, whether it's coming in for the Saturday football games from Houston to Dallas. There's a lot of people that want to live in Bryan College Station, but they're working in Houston, working in Dallas, and so this is a way for them to commute back and forth. Less than an hour's drive or an hour's train ride to and from Bryan College Station, which would be great. So what I proposed is, we all need to collectively be together at the same table lobbying for these efforts. That starts out with talking with Congressman Flores, Senator Shortner, Representative Rainey and Cassell, state and federal levels, working with the university, on our own to to bring those efforts there. I would think with all of what Governor Perry's done for Bryan College Station and Aggieland, if it's a benefit to the university and to our community, he would do all he could to help us in connectivity there. We're looking at about a $25,000 membership to be at the table. So we're proposing that, not everybody wants to put $25,000 into the pot individually. So collectively, can we put in $25,000, whether it's BBCOG, RVP, the two cities, the county, the university? And then I think you've got you still stay at the table and have a voice at the table and at a more cost-efficient basis.
But when do we know? And again, it's $25,000. I don't want to beat it to death, but I just don't see that anybody other than A&M taking the lead in this is going to make a blip on the radar screen.
And that's why I want to collectively put everyone together to do this, because individually, I mean, it'd be great if Bryan was the only one leading the charge for the high-speed rail. It's going to benefit everyone. Everyone needs to be at the table. Everyone needs to join together. We've talked about it at our IGC meetings, our collective government organizations, and yes, I think A&M probably needs to be the one to take the lead and has the biggest stick, as I mentioned earlier, to get this done, and the political stroke to convince our elected officials in Austin and Washington to connect this to Bryan College Station, Aggieland, to this high-speed rail line.
Do you have any sense of A&M's level of interest?
I haven't personally talked to the chancellor about it. I do intend to talk with Chancellor Sharp about it, the university, and it was a big deal made about the Aggie Expressway, to and from Houston, for that connectivity. I would think now if you're able to connect to San Antonio and Dallas also, there's a lot of possibilities. The professors that maybe living up in Dallas and Houston that want to come part-time work here, other folks, businesses, people that want to locate their companies here, Aggie's going back and forth, students going back and forth. I think it'd be advantageous to our community to have that connectivity, and I want to look at all efforts to do it. It is only $25,000. If you get 5-6 organizations splitting it, that would be the only way that I would participate. Mm-hmm. I wasn't supporting a $25,000 membership from the city of Bryan only by ourselves, but if collectively as a group we can come to the table and on all different facets of trying to get the high-speed rail connectivity here, then I am in support of that. And that's if the $25,000 brings everyone together as a whole, I think that's your biggest benefit, just bringing everybody to the table to talk about it and to all have a say and have to communicate on the issue.
Okay. All right. The weatherman says 87 for Saturday. That's pretty good.
We're gonna have
that's pretty
beautiful
good weather.
Yeah. In downtown Bryan. This has been a wonderful week, and timing couldn't be any better. But it's here, Scott. Friday and Saturday, Texas Reds. Friday night, David Whiteman band's going to be performing. Outstanding band. Everyone's going to have a great time. They play everything from the 50s all the way up to the songs you hear currently on the radio. So they're a generational type band. We've got country legends, Hall of Famers, John Conley and Steve Warner Saturday night headlining. All the restaurants and bars and establishments in downtown Bryan will have the Aggie game going on. If you want to come watch some football, we've got a tailgating tent. Vineyards from Texas, of course, but quite a few vineyards from the Bryan College Station, Brazos County, BBCOG, this local region here. There's so many wineries in and around Bryan College Station in this area, so come support your local wineries, and some of them are new that haven't participated in Texas Reds before. We've got more vendors than ever before, I think 70, 80 different vendors. It's different this year. We're not fencing off the downtown area, so you won't have to pay to go to Texas Reds. If you want to attend the concert on the north end this year, we're moving everything to the north end for the concert and the stage, where it's yet to be developed and redeveloped. There'll be a $5 charge only on Saturday, but Friday is free, and then all day Saturday is free for the events. The Children's Zone, Children's Museum is putting on their little fundraisers and activities. They'll have all sorts of activities for the kids. It's going to be wonderful weather and a great time by all. Come out and visit with your neighbors and come support the local businesses and vendors that are there also. Also want to mention, and everything starts on Saturday, starts about 10 o'clock, and then on Friday about 5 o'clock on. So seating is going to be limited at restaurants, so we encourage everyone to get there early and stay late and have a great time in downtown Bryan. Tuesday is National Night Out, so I encourage everyone to participate in National Night Out. It's a great time to get out and meet your neighbor. We're always busy and never had a chance to really get to visit with our neighbors. It's a great opportunity for that. please register your neighborhoods, whether you live in Bryan or College Station. Call your local police departments, register your neighborhoods, register your block parties, so the police and fire, our first responders, can come out and visit with you. So plus, we like to come eat the food and the cookies and
sure,
you know,
why not?
The homemade ice cream and all that. That is the biggest perk of being neighbor, being on the council is the opportunity to visit with these folks and eat their great cooking. But on National Night Out, I want to mention next week's Public Power Week. You know, the ratepayers and the taxpayers in Bryan and surrounding Bryan own BTU, and it is Public Power Week. So you'll see a lot from BTU celebrating all that they do. And since we are a public utility company here, to keep our rates low and keep our dependability high. And also in a couple weeks, we'll be talking about it, but it's Fire Prevention Week. So our first responders at Bryan Fire Department will be in and out and about doing educational programs and stuff, talking about Fire Prevention Week. So a lot of things going on at the city of Bryan. And again, we welcome everyone to come out. It is an away game, Arkansas. So come out and see everyone, your neighbors, and in and around Bryan College Station at Texas Reds this weekend.
Yeah, have people come in from out of town and leave their money here. We like that. All right. Thanks a lot, Jason.
Thank
you, Jason Bajinski. He's the mayor of Bryan. We visit the mayors on alternate Wednesdays.